With Montana News, I'm Cole Grant. One of the three fires burning in Yellowstone National Park has grown significantly in the last 24 hours. The Maple Fire, burning 8 miles northeast of West Yellowstone, jumped to nearly 300 acres today, up from yesterday's 10. That fire's moving in a northeasterly direction. The Fawn Fire, west of Fawn Pass, experienced minimal growth and is now 936 acres. Fire Information Officer Mike Johnson.
All park roads and all park areas are open, so these two fires that are currently burning right now are not impacting any visitors coming to the park.
The Pocket Fire, 5 miles south-southeast of Old Faithful, is now 100% contained. Crews hope to have it fully controlled by tomorrow. Visitors and communities north and west of the park should expect varying levels of smoke from these fires. The Copper King Fire, burning east of Thompson Falls, is now 20% contained. A smaller Type 3 incident management team will take over command tomorrow. They'll continue working to improve fire lines and fuel breaks on the fire's perimeter, ahead of an expected increase in temperature over the weekend. Over in Hamilton, the American Red Cross will host a disaster relief center for those affected by the Roaring Lion Fire, burning southwest of town. It will take place today until 7 p.m., and tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. The center is located at 1285 North 1st Street in Hamilton. Fire officials warn that warmer temperatures may bring an increase in fire behavior in densely vegetated areas that didn't receive much recent moisture. Representatives from three organizations say they will either change or cease running issue ads that mention Montana political candidates ahead of a Tuesday deadline that would require them to register as political committees and make financial disclosures to the state. Currently, at least four groups are running ads that would require registration and disclosure under the new law. Those are Americans for Prosperity, the League of Conservation Voters, Environmental Defense Fund, and the Montana Wilderness Association. A campaign finance reform law passed last year by the Montana legislature requires an organization to register as a political committee and make certain disclosures for ads that name or show the image of a candidate within 60 days of absentee voting. Under the old law, groups could run ads on issues such as education and the environment that mention candidates, but don't expressly tell their audiences to vote one way or another, without registering with the Montana Commissioner of Political Practices Office. Montana Fish and Wildlife Commissioner Gary Wolf says wildlife should not be managed like livestock. That's why he joined the rest of the commission this week in rejecting a proposal to haze diseased elk away from healthy herds. Wolf compares the idea to animal husbandry.
When you're dealing with domestic animals, you know, it's common that you round up animals, you move them, you drive them from pasture to pasture, you keep, you know, this herd of sheep or goats or cattle separate from another herd of sheep or goats or cattle.
The Fish and Wildlife Commission yesterday unanimously voted down the idea.
Those elk are on the landscape 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and there's just no way that you can reasonably expect that human hazing is going to keep those animals separate from each other.
The commission gave tentative approval to a brucellosis work plan, which can be viewed at mtpr.org. Wolf says it emphasizes separation of elk and cattle during the brucellosis transmission period. It now goes out for public review and comment. The commission will take final action at its October meeting. Attorneys for the state have agreed to have DNA testing performed on several items of evidence recovered during the investigation of a 1994 homicide near Helena, as two men convicted of the crime seek to prove their innocence. 62-year-old Paul Kenneth Jenkins and 54-year-old Freddie Joe Lawrence are serving life in prison for kidnapping and killing Donna Marr after robbing the Jackson Creek Saloon in Montana City, where she worked. The men's attorneys argue that according to court documents, most of the evidence in the murder case did not undergo DNA testing and could produce a genetic profile that doesn't match either defendant. Both sides have until August 26 to make their arguments to District Judge Kathy Seeley. A 2015 law allows people convicted of a felony to petition for DNA testing if the identity of the perpetrator was a significant issue in the case, and they can argue the evidence might establish their innocence. Petitioners must also swear, under oath, that they are innocent of the crime. Native Americans can begin collecting plants growing in national parks under a new federal rule. The rule announced in June by Interior Secretary Sally Jewell went into effect today. Under the rule, tribes must have a culturally significant tie to the land that makes up a national park in order for its members to harvest foliage that grows there. Native Americans or Alaska Natives must use the plants for traditional reasons, such as using a root for medicinal purposes. The Montana Petroleum Association is warning the City Council in Spokane that it's courting lawsuits with a proposed ordinance to fine railroads and move oil and coal through the city. In July, Spokane City Council unanimously voted to refer the ordinance to voters in November. The action followed a June oil train crash and fire in the Columbia River Gorge in Oregon. A release from the Montana Petroleum Association today says, if the local law passes, it will violate federal supremacy law and the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution. That would, quote, set the stage for an arduous legal battle at the expense of taxpayers, unquote. The release quotes Association Executive Director Alan Olson saying that the economy in Washington State grew on the backs of hardworking Montanans, supplying them with the resources that were not available in Washington. Now they are bound and determined to make Montana pay for their social conscience. BNSF Railway, which transports oil and coal through Spokane, says the fines could result in daily surcharges of $150,000 if the ordinance is enacted. A 53-year-old Texas man has drowned in a Montana kayaking accident. Flathead County Sheriff Chuck Curry says Musa Rashid of Sugar Land, Texas, was kayaking on Flathead Lake yesterday when his kayak tipped over about 100 yards from shore. Curry says Rashid was wearing a life jacket initially, but had taken it off at some point. Authorities say Rashid attempted to swim to shore, but was unable to make it. His body was recovered in about 12 feet of water by citizens who responded to calls for help. Emergency responders tried to revive Rashid on the way to the hospital in Kalispell, but were unable to do so. A Washington State motorcyclist was injured, and a bear was killed in a collision on Interstate 90 near Reed Point. A Montana Highway Patrol trooper tells the Billings Gazette the 3-year-old bear was chasing a fawn this afternoon when it darted out onto the highway, giving the rider little time to react. The injured man was flown to a Billings hospital for treatment. Bystanders helped release the fawn, which got caught in a fence while fleeing the bear. With Montana News, I'm Cole Grant.